Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Chauncey Show, where we're always right. It never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Welcome to the show. Hope everybody is doing well today. We're having a great time. We're going to have an awesome show lined up for you today. We have a state Senate candidate that is running for office, and he shall be in the studio shortly. Would you please stand by for one moment, audience? I apologize, audience. My guest, unfortunately, we have a time delay. They are in the central part of the country, so there's delay there with the time. He was unaware that the show was starting now, so we straightened that out. Also, this week coming up on Thursday, we're going to have in the studio gubernatorial candidate Major Williams, who is running for governor out of California, into the studio. He is going to be here. He ran for mayor, and he was on our show before. Now he's running for governor. So we will be having him on the show. And then the following week, we're going to be having we're going to have Joe Ray Perkins, who's a U.S. Senate candidate, on our show on the 17th. And then we're going to have on our show Paul Crespo on the 24th, who is the president of the Center for the American Defense. We're going to talk about COVID-19. We're going to talk about the military being forced to take shots. And then after that, on the 26th of the month, we're going to have Billy Prepa, who is a congressional candidate that's running for Congress out of New Jersey's 9th District. And then on the 31st, we're going to have Israel Cruz running for U.S. Senate out of PA. Those will be our candidates that will be coming up for the rest of this month. I think we have the Reverend in the studio. So we have Reverend Coleman, who's going to be a candidate for State Senator, Mississippi District 32, in the studio, man of God, man of deep faith. And he is for the people. Let me welcome him to the show. Pastor,
how are you,
to the
sir?
Show. I'm doing well. I apologize for the miscommunication about the time. And I thank you for taking your time out of your schedule to come on the show. How are you doing today?
I am blessed, great sir. Can you hear me well?
I hear you loud and clear. Talk a little bit about, I mean, you have an extraordinary background. Your educational credentials are unbelievable. Talk a little bit about your background and who you are, and then talk about what made you decide to get involved in politics.
Well, I am, of course, W.J. Coleman, Jr., born and reared in Louisville, Mississippi. I'm a graduate of Louisville High School. From then, I went to Mary Holmes College, which was in Westmont, Mississippi. It was a Presbyterian-affiliated school, a very good school. It was a two-year college, in fact, but they, several years ago, closed down. From there, I did other studies. Charisma University, which is in the Turks and Caicos Island. I've done undergrad and graduate works with them. I've always been in various studies program. I am married. My wife is Jacqueline Coleman. She is from North Carolina, Hendersonville, in fact. And okay. And we have several children. And I'm just grateful to say that. Well, I said several. We do that because we don't like to put an ending number, because she's still praying for more, so I'm going to pray for her and with her.
Amen.
For the political side, let me tell you, God called me at age 15 in the ministry, 1984. In fact, I was in the 9th grade at that time. And I'm a Baptist clergy. I I don't get hung up about denomination. My thing is the Word of God. But I am a Baptist clergy. And at that age, I had an interest in politics. And as time went on, my mindset changed because I was watched out of community. I watched politicians come to the churches and make various promises and commitments, but many lied. And they come again the next 2 years, next 4 years, next 2 years, 6 years with the same lie. And it bothered me, so I started getting more involved in politics and helping various candidates, and that was an honor to do that. And now we have an opening in District 32 here in Mississippi, which covers four counties, Winston, which is the city of Louisville, which I reside, Knoxville County, which is the city of Macon, Kemper County, that's the Cab and Preston area, and Lauderdale, portion of Lauderdale County as well, which is Meridian, Mississippi. And I must also say that that what got me is that these lines are drawn so strangely. You, one side of the street you could be in the district, and the other side of the street you cannot be. But nevertheless, I prayed about it, and God had an opening. The incumbent who was there, he resigned, and I decided to prepare to run for this seat with much prayer, I must add it. Also,
amen. Prayer is very important when you get involved in politics, because most people, unfortunately, have good intentions but not are of deep faith that enter into the political arena, and that's what's missing today. God in politics. The moral fiber of this country has been stretched to the limit. It is a blessing to hear and step into representing, doing the people's business. What are some of the issues?
Yes.
What are some of the issues that are facing Mississippi right now that you would like to tackle and address when you become the next state senator?
Well, there are several. One, I am without a doubt pro-God. I cannot make any decision. I cannot live. I cannot do anything without the leading of God. And any person that feels as a leader today is just them. It's regardless of your credential, your background, your social order, you have to have God leading the way. So with
Amen.
That, we are faced with many issues. Mississippi has still issues before us. And what people don't realize, some things that are facing the nation will trickle down to the South. Mississippi, some Mississippians, some mean three or more, I guess, but have a tendency that when it comes to certain crimes and violence and et cetera, we look at it as a Chicago problem, Detroit problem. But when those persons, when that problem migrated in the South, it's like a bomb went off. So one of the things is crime. Anyone that states, especially in a leadership position, that have the audacity to mention that they want to defund the police, that's a problem. My father is a retired lieutenant in the police department here. Law and order is the day, and we must support quality law enforcement, quality training, and even go in steps of even consider psychological evaluation or considering of the individual before they graduate from the academy and once they become active as an officer, especially when they go through trauma and et cetera. I know some places they have that, but a lot of your rural areas, they do not. So equipping law enforcement with the proper tools and means necessary to battle the criminals. Because the criminals have all the different weapons they can get, whether they buy it through legal means or through stores or whether they get it through the black market. So I do believe that we should help and protect those who protect us. from the military to the, our local law enforcement officer, any of those that help and support our country, our state. We should do anything by any means necessary to support those individuals. And for his crime concern and working with the law enforcement, I look at the churches. The leaders need to stand and have a more voice in stopping and the crime in our community. You know, we often point to the government what they need to do, but it's up to the individual community to make a stand. You know, God left the church responsible for certain things, to feed the hunger and to do certain things. So it's up to the church to stand and come together regardless of denomination, race, and et cetera. We must learn to agree to disagree and work together to combat these different problems. And I have a gentleman, Brother Richard Dalton, who is the president of the Joshua Partnership Project, Ending Violence in America. He's in Atlanta. He has a plan that that has worked. In fact, I believe President Bush at one time approved of his plan. Black American gentlemen who show how the church can come together and unite in various ways to combat the problems in their community. People want to get rid of the police and defund the police, but when something happens, 911 is the first thing they call. But first, let us do what we can as a community and work together with law enforcement to see that these things are done properly. And even with criminal justice reform, great sir, I would love to see a great criminal justice reform plan come into power where it is not just a give a key out and let them out, but where that individual has a certain training and certain skill set that must be met before they're out. I don't care if it's parole time or whatever. Every offender should be demanded to get at least the GED and have quality skills where they can become a asset to the society and not a liability. And anything else? Can I just keep going?
Yeah. Well, you did. You talked about a lot. You talked about a lot. You talked about problems and you talked about solutions. And one of the most impactful statements that you've made, and I'm very passionate about this, I've talked about this on my other shows, is I grew up in the early 60s and the church was the cornerstone of the community. That is no more. And when you talked about the church standing up and playing a more active role in community and battling crime, feeding the homeless, you hit the nail on the head, because only we can solve our own problems. And, you know, the church, in my humble opinion, has not participated in the level that I was grown up in during the Martin Luther King era of when churches were everything. And it seems to me that once government or churches started receiving government money, they started participating in politics and less, and less engaging in social, economic, and the moral fiber of the communities. And you're bringing that up now.
If I may share this with you.
Yes.
The book of Haggai, mm-hmm. 1 and 6 tell us, ye have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drinks. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that eateth wages, earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. So with employment, et cetera, and looking for proper employment where you're an ex-inmate, convict, or whatever, offender, whoever you are, There's no excuse. If you are, now this is for those who know Christ, who accepted him as their Savior, who's born again and obedient. I know there are those that may criticize me stating that, but it's just who I am. And
amen.
So, see, not all employment are profitable. Many people, my friend, work like elephants, but eat like ants. They have nothing to show for their labor. It's like all they earn goes into a bag with holes. But it's my belief that God desires his children to have enough for themselves and to be able to give to others.
Amen.
See, we as children of God are blessed to be a blessing to others. We're
Amen.
Supposed to be able to provide for ourselves, excuse me, our family, assist in the works of God, and assist the needy. I didn't say greedy. I said the needy. When our income is not able to meet these commands, something's wrong. We need to pray and ask God for, to me, a profitable employment and show us the way to prepare ourselves for better employment. An employment we have to gain skill and knowledge how to make it grow. Growth is important. Growth, economic development, it's important. Investing, businesses are important. See, God does not want his children to manage property. That's my belief. He desires to satisfy us with good things. He desires that we need, he desires that our needs are met. See, people have a tendency to put down industry and business, but common sense tells me that if businesses are striving, if they have the tools necessary to expand, then they can create wealth, they can create jobs, they can create higher wages, they can create better benefits. But having a mentality of taking from the wealthy, that's ignorant. You have to
Amen.
Earn your place in every part of society. It's
Amen.
Not meant to, you know, I wouldn't mind being wealthy. I would be happy, but I'm glad what God has given me. I always says a little something better than a lot of nothing. But we have to learn to work with every entity, every part of society to make our state and our country better.
Amen. Teamwork makes the dream work.
So, you know, and those are things that I, you know, and there are several things. I say I'm pro-life, you know, and I do not make excuses for it. For these that want to run around and say Black Lives Matter, well, if it matter, why are you not standing against abortion? If it matter, why are you not belittling the industry of taking the aborted fetus and making vaccines and selling? If you are pro-life, if you really care about who you are, if Black Lives Matter, why we have black-on-black crimes?
Teach.
Why are we rioting in the streets? Why are they selling drugs? Why are all the crimes going on in the black community and you hush? The leadership is not saying anything. And you're pointing
Teach.
Fingers to different the parties. You're pointing your fingers to the other authority, but you're not taking personal inventory of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So talk is cheap. Rhetoric is cheap. Raising millions of dollars off the emotions of others for your own personal gain is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Raising millions of dollars in the name of Black Lives Matter and buying million-dollar mansion, et cetera, that's cheap. If you really care, you'd be giving grant money to the leaders and those families that have been hurt. You've been helping them. You'll be sending their kids to college. You'll be putting money to help economic development, to help these people to have these homes that need to be renovated, and these people, these elderly who in the summer are burning up the heat. In the winter, they are freezing. They're without food. They're wondering about how to pay their medical bill. That's cheap, raising hundreds of million just to enjoy when you got so much suffering out there. Rhetoric, it's time off for the rhetoric. It's time for people to do what God wants to do. It's time for us to be who we're supposed to be. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I'm saying that we need to be accountable.
Hello?
We have to make a stand.
Yes.
And this is about two facts. Forgive me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I want to apologize. I thought you were done, and we had about 20 minutes left. I was going to go to the next topic, but no, please finish, because you're on point. I'm not going to stop you.
Okay. This is about facts. It's not party. It's not race. It's about people. I don't care if you're Latino, Asian, black or white, whatever. It's about a people, because all these ethnic groups makes up America. In law-abiding, God-fearing, tax-paying, hard-working people, patriots of this country deserve to be heard, deserve to be respected, and the rights not belittled or threatened to be taken away. You have a bill coming out that has the Equality Act under its umbrella. I'm a black male. I'm a black American. I'm not ashamed to say it. I often say, you're African-American. Well, I haven't been to Africa. I don't know if I'm going to get to go there or not, but I was born and reared in Louisville, Mississippi, so I'm a black American.
Teach.
These different amendments they have about implementing and putting, revising American, et cetera. See, people need to watch these undercover things in these bills. You know, the Equality Act is here. And as a black male, I say this. As God said, love the sinner, but hate the sin. I'm not one of those that believe in violence and belittling and killing and hurting people of various gender beliefs. I'm not of that thing. I don't believe in hate crime. But I am that I am, because I believe I'm a pro-life, pro-family, pro-traditional family and marriage. You know, God made my wife. He didn't make Steve. I don't think that the Steve looked good enough to take place in my wife. And that's those values that I stand on. But trying to say that those rights, your gender, your sexual preference is civil rights, that's a slap in the face of all the people who've been hung, died, cried, bled to get where we are today. And for those who feel that they have arrived and can do what you want, you haven't arrived. You are arriving.
Amen.
You don't really arrive in this society until God calls on his church and his saints. So wake up and smell the coffee, and you need to put a little sugar in it and cream.
Amen.
But go ahead, because you got me started. I'm sorry. It's the Baptist in me, so forgive me. Go ahead.
Listen, I don't want to stop you now, you know, because you got my ear. You know, you talk in my talk, and this is what the people need to hear. Not about some political nonsense. They need to hear about the truth, about people, life, human beings. See, politicians want to use identity politics, division. That's of Satan. That's not of God. You hit the nail on the head.
There's so many issues in Mississippi, and time would not allow me. But we have a great state auditor, Sean White, who, yes, is a Republican. Most of Republicans are elected in Mississippi, statewide office, and have many are doing an awesome job. But one thing he has done that I want to push is that Medicaid. There are people standing $1 to $2 million homes that draw in six figures and that was getting Medicaid, and he putting a stop to those type of things. The abuse and waste in these social programs. You know, there are a lot of people that have need. There are a lot of black females that I know and have witnessed. A lot of them are single. They have children, and some are really trying to better themselves. They're working. Some have more than one job. But they need that little extra help, not a handout. But they need a little extra help. And I think Section 8 housing, things of that nature, should be more available for those who not only can give back to, not just getting something free, but giving into a program, but yet doing well from it. There are several programs out there that people talk about that's being wasted and used by others. But I want to see that the truly needed, those who are trying to step up and be productive and a tax-paying, positive part of society get the help they need. Now, if you one of those sorry rascals who sitting back waiting on handouts, waiting on your girlfriend or whoever you with to get her food stamps and her check and her child support check, I have no sympathy for you. If you put in one or two applications and walk in with your pants hanging down, showing your disgusting butt and your filthy underwear, and you can't get a job, I wouldn't hire you either. But those who want to be productive, those who are trying, that's my goal, to be there for those who are trying to move forward and support our elderly and do things to support our veterans. You know, those who put their life on the line for us. We never should forget those for them. And to make sure that the state hospitals for the veterans are up to par, what the state can do its part. And whatever we can do for our National Guard men and women who serve well, do what we can for them. Because these people are putting their life on the line for us. They are taking time from their family. They are putting – so we as a country, we as a state, we owe them. And we never forget from which we've come. We never forget those who are protecting us.
Amen.
And that's what, in short, I'm running, and there's so many things I could say, but one of the many reasons I'm running for the Senate District 32, Senate seat in Mississippi, it's 2 years in this, the incumbent I mentioned have resigned, and I know several have come out, but I see that many of their positions are different. Of course, their beliefs and how to handle, tackle the position, the problems are different. But I want to do what's right. I want to do the conservative approach that pleases God. And no big eyes, no little you, but people. My job is to serve God by serving his people. Poly mean many. Tick suck the life out of living beings. So I'm not a politician. I'm a servant. And I will be quiet and answer any questions you have these few moments here.
You know, you wrapped it up well, because that's what we need in the states and the country today. We need leadership that wants to be servants to the people. The leadership today thinks that they are elite and removed from the people, and they think they know what's best for the people. And that's not serving God's will or the people's will. That's serving your own will. And may God have mercy on all of your souls.
That yes, sir.
That. Because there is a judgment day. And you all will be accounted for your actions. I am blessed. I've been judged while being on this earth. And I've made my corrections. I'm blessed. Many people leave this earth not being able to make that correction. Please, heed the advice. Seek God and know who he is, because the time is at hand. Reverend, I thank you so much for coming on my show and sharing
yes,
your
sir.
spiritual insight, your passion for not only God, but for serving all of his people. That is more important today than talking about politics, talking about identity politics, talking about division, talking about playing the blame game. You hit the nail on the head. If we are going to change your state, states, and the country around, we have to look first to God and serve his will if we're going to have help in saving our nation and saving our states. Because
yes, sir.
we can see what has happened in this country when God has been omitted from the public schools. And now we're seeing him trying to get rid of everywhere. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Even though it's a troubled history, it's still the greatest country in the world. And because of our history, not despite of, has made this country great, greater. And, you know, I'm a historian guy, and I'm not for tearing down any statues of anyone. I'm not a symbol guy, but that's a part of history for us to remember, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. What are they going to do? What are they going to do 80 years later, say, I want to remove Dr. Martin Luther King statue? You want to, you know, you want to remove all these Confederates and all that other stuff? It's only a symbol of history. To know nothing of the past is to understand little of the present and have no conception of the future. If you don't know your history, how do you know where you're going?
And sir, maybe I know that from being a Mississippian, people would be surprised the great contribution Southern blacks contribute in the Southern, in the war, and in the things they aid and the things they have done. It's a misconception, and see, people need to quit using fear to get their agenda over and start dealing with the truth. And one thing about the truth, when you tell the truth, don't care how people belittle you, lie on you, it will stand. And the lack of history, because every Southern, every person that have a Confederate flag don't hate every black they see. You know, and something I learned, and I'm going to say this, I've learned in my years of moving about, dealing with church and et cetera, and to the black community that might be listening, and I hope you listen well at this statement, I've learned the hard way. Every black man is not my friend, and every Caucasian is not my enemy.
Amen. My father taught me that in the 1960s when I was a little boy. Amen. Amen. I always say division is not of God. It is of Satan.
There you are. And feel free to leave my address and information if you wish.
Please, please share. We have about 10 minutes left. Please share with my listeners your information, your address, in case they want to mail you a check, make a donation. I know that your campaign is still, that's in the beginning of formulating your websites and all that other stuff. I know you're on LinkedIn. You're on a couple of social media sites. You can share that information as well with our listeners. But I will have you back on my show again, because this is a conversation that needs to be had. People need to hear real conversations about real issues and about the moral disparity of where we are right now, because only God can help us right now, people. We have to put our faith in God, not man, and we see that with COVID and all this other nonsense going on. You know, revelations are starting to come to pass. The trumpets are starting to be blown, and the plague is at hand. So,
yes, sir.
We must wake up. The time is now. You know, people that know I'm a God-fearing person. You missed the beginning of the show, and for your listeners or people that are listening now, I say, we're always right. We're never left. We put God first and politics second.
Amen.
Because I cannot do anything without my father. I would not exist without my father, and I do not make any decisions without my father. It took me a long time to understand that. I went through trials and tribulations, but now I am an obedient servant, and that's all God wants. Is for you to pay attention to him and listen to him. And he'll guide your steps. He'll make your life easier. He'll give you happiness. He'll give you peace. And he will give you all that you need, not desire. And that's the key. Reverend, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on my show. Please share your address right now and information of and your phone number. People want to get a hold of you or mail you a donation. Please share that information,
yes,
with my listeners.
Yeah, and let me note My wife is working on my website page. We stay in the rural area, so, you know, I guess that's another issue is communication, because we stay in the rural area and the connection is not always well. But we will be giving you the information hopefully next week. But for those, my name is W.J. Coleman. Coleman is C-O-L-E-M-A-N. It's Friends of W.J. Coleman. It can be addressed. The campaign is Friends of W.J. Coleman for State Senate. But you can put Friends of W.J. Coleman. The address is P.O. Box 1158. P.O. Box 1158. And that is Louisville, L-O-U-I-S-V-I-L-L-E, Mississippi, M-S, zip code 339. Again, P.O. Box 1158, Louisville, Mississippi, 39339. My phone number, 662-705-0956, 662-705-0956. And the email is ColemanForStateSenate@gmail.com. ColemanForStateSenate@gmail.com. And let me do say, I thank God for anybody, you know, a person don't have to totally agree with me or everything for me to talk to them. But if you call me with radical talk against me being pro-life and all this, I may give you some scriptures and hope that help you and pray for you to God, but I won't talk to you long, don't hang up on you. But if you're calling for positive things and constructive things, I'll listen to whatever you have to say. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Reverend W.J. Coleman, Jr., Ph.D., candidate for State Senator, Mississippi District 33. He is my brother. I'm sorry, 32. He is my brother from another mother, but the same father. I've been waiting to say that the whole show. God bless you.
God bless you, and thank you, and thank you, listeners.
You got it. We were blessed to have in the studio Reverend W.J. Coleman, Jr., who's a candidate for State Senator, Mississippi District 32 in the studio. Passionate gentleman talking about his faith, talking about pro-life, talking about the church, talking about crime, talking about that we need to solve our own problems in our own community and stop looking to the government for help. Inspiring conversation, enlightening, and very informative. And these are the type of candidates that we need in the future. We need public servants, you know, and he said, I want to serve God's people. Powerful. That's powerful. Imagine if we had people that are running for office that says, I am running because I want to serve God's people. The time is at hand. God is starting to put his people in places and running for offices for his will, for God's will. The time is up for all these other politicians with their greed, their selfishness, their hunger and lust for power. The time is at hand. God will always win. I just hope that God has mercy on your souls, upon your exits. We saw God's work during the Trump campaign. How did Trump get elected? Because of God. And look at the magnificent things. Look at what he accomplished in 4 years. He accomplished more in 4 years than Joe Biden did in 48 years of public life. But the establishment can't have that. We got to get rid of this guy because he's making career politicians look bad. That's the truth, people. Okay? Forget about all the propaganda and the nonsense, the programming that the television and mainstream media want you to believe. That's all deception. look at the data, look at the laws, look at the policies put in place for all people throughout America, for all businesses, small, big. He was the people's president. Look at the policies, not the politics, not the rhetoric. Look at policies that Donald Trump implemented. I challenge anyone on policy issues because that's what it's about. Are you doing the people's business or you're doing your own business? And like Donald Trump said, the swamp is people doing their own business. And we can see that. Look at their electric reports. Look at their personal finances. How do you stay in politics for 30 years and you're a multimillionaire and you only make $100,000 a year? People, please wake up. We need people that want to serve people. We don't need leaders that want to be served by the people. I want to thank everybody for tuning into my show, The Chauncey Show, today. On this Thursday, we're going to have a great show coming up again. We're going to have gubernatorial candidate Major Williams running for governor. We know that they're recalling the governor, Gavin Newsom, in California. Major Williams is going to be here. He ran for mayor two years ago. He was on my show. Now he's running for governor. And we're going to talk about all the issues that are impacting California: fentanyl, immigration, homelessness, veterans, ton of stuff. So please, you can listen to us live on Blog Talk Radio, The Chauncey Show, or after our shows are aired, you can listen to Chauncey Show on Spreaker. For all those that are listening, we want to thank you all for your prior support. As you all know, we do this and we're able to do this because of small contributions from people like you. Whatever you can contribute, we would appreciate. Please PayPal me. It's PayPal me, The Chauncey Show. PayPal me, The Chauncey Show, so we can continue to be a voice for we the people throughout the nation. We don't want to accept, or we don't accept donations from big corporations because we don't want our voice to be silenced. This is the people's network. We're here to do the people's business. And we appreciate all of the people's donations that they make. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday night, 6 o'clock to 7 Eastern Standard Time with Major Williams. As always, thank you very much for tuning in. And remember, keep the faith. God bless you all. Good night now.